When is it going to be enough? How much money is enough for you? How many properties do you want? How many assets do you want? How much wealth do you want to build? People ask us this question all the time. When is it going to be enough for you? And this question comes from various different angles. I was at the Bigger Pockets conference last year, and someone asked me, when are you going to stop? How many properties is it going to be enough? And I was on a panel with other women, a lot of other women, and the panel was very diverse. It went all the way from, I'm going to flip one property a year. Every year, I'm going to do a live and flip. That was one end of the spectrum. All the way to, I'm not going to stop until I have $1 billion in assets under management, right? So it was a very diverse panel. And so what I learned was it's different for everyone, right? It's going to be different for you. It's going to be different for me. And so today we're talking about this topic in a broader context and what it means to us. What is enough for us? That's what we're going to talk about today.
Hey there. We're here to put you on the path to a multi-million dollar real estate portfolio. I'm Palak.
And this is Needy. Thanks for joining us. Great to have you here.
So the first thing that I want to talk about is we didn't want financial freedom because we were lazy and we wanted to stop working. That is not why we wanted financial freedom. Why did we want financial freedom?
And we worked hard all our lives. And I'm never the person who will be like, oh, I just want to sit on a beach all day because it'll get boring. Like, I need stuff to do. I want like new things. I want to be occupied. I want to be learning new things and doing new things all the time. So as you said, like for me, it was never about, oh, I'm just going to, you know, sit somewhere and work like, you know, 4 hours a day. And it would be nice to have the option to do that.
Right.
But that's not why you wanted it at all. Like, at least not me. And I think the same for you.
Same for me. I did not want financial freedom because I didn't want to work. I wanted financial freedom because I didn't want anyone to tell me how much to work, when to work, what to do. And I want somebody else deciding for me when it was the right time for me to get the promotion. That was what really made me mad, because after our kids were born, I went to work and my boss was retiring. So I asked to be considered for his position. And my boss said, he was a great boss. Like, we had a very good relationship. But the words that came out of his mouth were instinct. He didn't have time to think about it. And so instinctively, he just said, I don't know how the guys would feel about that. Because I was a mechanical engineer. I was working with all of the men. And he was like, I don't know how. And I was like, damn it. Like, I want somebody saying that to me. Why would I want to hear that? And, you know, I knew the first thought that came into his mind was like, you've just had a baby. You just came back to work. You're working with all these men. You're probably going to want to work from home a couple of days a week. How are they going to feel if we promote you and you're going to lead them?
Even though you were a lot more productive and you got a lot more done.
Right. And But why is that the reason to not promote someone? And I didn't want that to be the reason to not get promoted.
Yeah, and you know, this is the same experience that I had in corporate, and I think a lot of people can hopefully relate to this, is somebody else determining your worth.
Right.
Right. And a lot of times it is unfair. You just the promotions that you don't get, or the moves that you're trying to make that somebody says you're not ready for, even though you may believe it and you may know that you're ready, and somebody else determining your fate. And I think that was a big somebody determining what your ceiling is, essentially.
Yeah. And that's tough. It's tough because I think we're also used to other people determining our fate all of our lives, right? Like, we're so used to parents saying good job when we do something good, and we feel so happy. We get a star when we perform well in school. And we're also used to that validation. And corporate culture also promotes that, right? Because they're trying to create minions.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
They're going to teach you to be happy when somebody else validates you. And so, sorry, we were not planning to, by the way, talk about any of this today, but we got some I got like really excited as soon as we started talking about it. And
it's, you know, it brings back all these memories of like, you know, why we wanted to do something different.
Yeah. If my voice sounds triggered, it's because
you're triggered by corporate.
Yeah. Triggered by corporate. Yeah. So we never wanted financial freedom because we didn't want to work. Let's just go there. And then we talked to hundreds of people on a consistent basis. We've trained thousands of people on real estate investing. And the number one question we always ask them is, why are you doing this? And when we find the answer, I don't think anyone has ever said
that it's because I'm lazy.
Yeah, it's because I don't want to work. No one ever says that. People always say that it's because I want more time with the kids. It's because I want more time to pursue my passions. It's because I've seen my parents work themselves to death and I want to do better. I'm just so burned out by corporate. Like, the reasons are never that I don't want to work. It's because of all these other things that are happening around us that make us want financial freedom. So it's really interesting that when you don't think about it enough, you always think like, why are these people still working if they already have financial freedom?
Yeah.
The next reason for us to continue moving forward is our kids.
Yeah. And this was a big one for both of us, right? When we were in corporate, one of the biggest reasons, you talked about this many times, and even in our book, this is the very first chapter in the book where we talk about how we had a two-year-old and a two-month-old, and we were both in these really busy, careers where we had great growth potential, but really what it came down to was somebody else deciding how much time we get to spend with our kids, right? And that was a big sort of reason why we started investing in real estate. And even though our initial goal when we started investing in real estate was to be financially free so we can have all the time that we want to spend with our kids, which is still great, right? That's still something that drives us to create all these assets, create all this wealth so that they have not just a safety net, but they can then truly explore their own potential in whatever they're trying to do without being limited by, you know, not having enough money to go to college or do whatever they want to do. But I think another thing that we have realized along the way is as we've been building the real estate business and growing ourselves, and our kids are always around.
Right.
They're always around. They always see how we're running the business, how we have all these team meetings and how we're leading different people into growing our portfolio, how we make some tough decisions. And whenever challenges come up, they see us overcoming those and we involve them. We talk about it all the time. And this is something that we didn't get when we were growing up,
right?
Like, because our parents had a W-2 job, my dad was an engineer, my mom was a doctor, and money was never really talked about. Right, like growing wealth was never really talked about because it was taboo. Whereas we're like, you know, totally changing that narrative in our house where we're talking about wealth, where we're talking about building skills to be able to build that wealth that you need to do. And I think that to me is the biggest asset that we can pass on to our kids. More than even the real estate assets, the biggest assets that I think I've seen, you know, even our kids and our 8-year-old daughter now and our 6-year-old boy, they're very curious about the business and always seeing how we are putting ourselves in these uncomfortable situations and then overcoming them and growing the business.
And especially, I think for me, and even maybe also for you, like I think women are consistently showing up as burned out, as really living their lives for other people, right? What this is how we are all raised. And I talk about this way too much, I think, because it really bothers me that we have to always show up as selfless. Women are expected to never do things that they want to do that makes them happy, because that's the persona that society has created for women. We are mothers, we are nurturers, we're not supposed to want things. And I want to change that narrative in our household for our kids, both our daughter and our son. I want them to understand that even your mom lives a life that she's thriving in, that she enjoys, that, you know, she's building a business that she absolutely loves to build. And before, I used to say things like, well, mama has to work. Mama has to get this done before we can do XYZ. And then now I've completely changed how I talk to them about it. And I tell them that, you know, I really love my kids. They're always going to be above everything else. Family always comes first. But I genuinely love building wealth, making money, helping people build wealth and make money. We love that. And yeah, there's nothing wrong in doing things that we love and making that a priority. And, you know, it doesn't always have to be selfless.
Yeah.
And you don't always have to be this one persona that society has created. I want them to see that. And, you know, when my son grows up and when, you know, whatever he chooses to do in life, whoever he's with, if he ends up being with a woman, I want him to be like, yes, go and do what you yep. enjoy. And my daughter, I want her to not just burn herself out trying to give.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I really want them to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the questions that we talk about all the time is, what are the values that we can pass on to our kids? Right? What are the things that we need to be teaching them and showing them?
Mm-hmm.
And what we realized is that the best way to teach something to your kids is by doing it yourself.
Yes.
Right? The kids learn best through osmosis and through being around us when we're actually doing stuff. And that's how they really learn it and internalize what we're doing, is by showing them living the life that we want to live
right.
and living the life that we want them to live.
Right.
And that's something that we can do as investors and as business owners that we could not have done when we were just in a W-2 job. I couldn't teach my daughter finance and strategy when she's 8 years old, right. but I can teach her at a very high level about investments, on how to work with people and how the world works. And
just who you are as a person, right? You can really give that to her and pass that on to
right.
her. That you can do that now. I read a quote somewhere that I forget exactly how it goes, but it was something like, my mom didn't just hand everything to me and, you know, make life the best for me. My mom had fun and she let me watch. And that's what makes me want to have fun. So, like you said, it's not about what we tell them and what we create for them. It's how we live our lives. That's how they learn how they want their lives to be. And, you know, we are in no way perfect parents. We don't know what we're doing half the time, but this is something we strongly believe in.
Yeah.
The last piece is something that we were talking to a friend of, we were having dinner with some friends a few days ago. And one of my friends, very dear friends, who is a genuinely good person, she was like, when is it going to be enough for you? And I thought about it and I said, if I'm capable of achieving more and fulfilling my potential more, not at the expense of my health or my kids or, you know, all that, but if my potential is going to allow me to do more, it's my responsibility to go after it. It's my duty to go after it.
Yes. And we're, you know, all of us, and, you know, I'm assuming most of you listening are blessed in the sense that we live in a country which allows us, which gives you the best, you know, foundation. It gives you a great opportunity. If you're an investor, if you're trying to build a business, there's literally no place I would rather be in the world than here.
Yeah.
And, you know, being in the situation that we're in, it's almost like it would be a waste if we said, oh yeah, we're just happy with, and, you know, we want to do a lot more. It's not just, and we're not just, as you said, doing it for selfish reasons. Like, we have much bigger goals. Like, at some point, we want to make an even bigger impact
right.
in the world. Like, right now, we do the most we can, you know, by providing housing to people who cannot afford it, but helping, you know, Section 8 program, where people who rent from us, they're truly, truly struggling, and they have very low incomes, and they couldn't afford a place to live. So we are actually making an impact in affordable housing, and that's something that we truly believe in and support, and we do as much as we can now. But in 5 or 10 years, I want to be doing a lot more to help people in need.
And the only way we can do more is if we get bigger, right?
Yeah. And the more money you have, the more resources you have, the more skills you have, the more people you can help.
Right.
And I think that is amazing
right.
to do that. But you have to help yourself first, right? And so
yeah.
if you are in a W-2 job right now, or if you are, you know, trying to on their journey to create wealth, do that, yes. And, you know, do what you can to help society and give back as you're going through your journey. But it's such a great thing to look forward to say, okay, in a few years, we can actually make a much bigger social impact.
Yeah. Well. And I'm going to tell you, if you are someone who has been trained to think that the more money you have, your relationships are going to suffer, you're going to become selfish, you rich people are, I was going to swear, but I'm not going to, rich people are not good people. Like, this is all untrue. I'll give you an example. So every time, so if you're South Asian, you know what I mean here, okay? Every time my mom visits, it's all about the food. It's all about, oh, do this, do that. Let's get this done. Let's clean this. Let's take the trash out. Let's make this. Let's do this for the kids. It was always about that. And it caused a lot of friction between us. And then when we started building wealth and having more income, I was able to hire support for when she visited. And we said, well, Nidhi noticed the friction. He's like, why don't you take that out of the equation so that there's no friction and enjoy your mom's stay? And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do it. So we were able to afford support for when she was visiting. So she didn't have to lift a finger. We didn't have to do any of those chores around the house during her trip. So that friction was completely out of the equation. What that did was that allowed us to actually talk about the deeper, meaningful issues that cause that friction. And we were able to work on our relationship. And that would not have been possible without money. So please don't let anybody tell you that money is going to cause friction in relationships. This is not true. Friction in relationships is based on who we are as people. It's unrelated to money.
Yeah. And as I say, money amplifies who you truly are. If you're a nice person on the inside, you're just going to amplify that. If you're not a nice person, it's going to amplify that too.
Yeah.
So money is, it by itself doesn't change who you are.
It doesn't.
And you can truly be a good person and do good to society, when you have money.
You're just going to have a bigger impact.
Yes.
So if you have any guilt around this, around wanting more, just know that wanting more and having more is good. It is not a bad thing. And it's good for you. It's good for your extended family. It's good for society. It's good for your kids. It's good for yourself. And it's about time that the Kool-Aid that the meets us has been fed all this time, where wanting more makes you selfish. It's about time we stop drinking that Kool-Aid, right? So yes. So the reason to summarize this, the reason we wanted financial freedom was because we wanted more. We did not want less. So why would we stop?
Absolutely.
Second, and yeah.
Can I just add something to that?
Yeah.
And I often tell these people, given where we come from,
yeah,
right, as immigrants, we didn't come this far only to come this far.
Yes, you see.
We have a long way to go. And to anybody listening, come up with your own journey of where you want to go and truly dream big and try and get there.
Absolutely. So to summarize, number one, we wanted financial freedom because we wanted more. It's not because we wanted to work less. Second, we want to pass on our work ethic to our kids. We want them to see how we're thriving in whatever we have chosen. And the path, if it burnt us out, we had the courage to change it and we were willing to take the risks and the discomfort and put in the work to get there. We want them to see that so they can choose the life that they want for themselves. And number three, we are blessed and privileged to be living the life that we're living now. It is our duty and responsibility to continue growing further. And if us as privileged people, I'm gonna say we're privileged because we are privileged. If you're thinking of building wealth, if you have good income and you're thinking of building wealth, that's privilege.
Yeah.
Majority of this world barely can make ends meet. So if you have the ability to think about building wealth, it's a privilege. As privileged people, it's our job. It's our job to ask for more and get more. And that's our duty and responsibility. So let us know, what was the biggest takeaway from today? We would love to know that. Drop it in the comments.
Yeah, and if you haven't read our book yet,
yes,
Accelerate Your Real Estate is the name of the book. It's on Amazon. It's got amazing reviews. It's sold like 1,200 plus copies. So if you haven't picked one up yet, do that.
Yes. And please drop us a review if you've read our book. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye now.
Don't forget, when you're ready to get serious, you can join us at theinvestoraccelerator.com.
It's like getting 1,000 episodes worth of information in 5 days, and it's everything you need to build your actionable plan to financial freedom and making work optional.